It can be difficult to keep up with the details of the tax reform slash tax cut bill now working through Congress, not only because there are lots of details, who pays less, who pays more, but also because the House version, which passed, is very different from the Senate version, which has not had a vote yet. Many, many people and organizations are coming forward to express concerns with some of the many details unfolded in the tax bills. Those include people who work to make sure there's enough housing for people to live in when they don't have much money to spend on housing. We'll focus now on provisions that would affect affordable housing. Two guests join us with national and more regional perspectives. Diane Yentel is the president and CEO of the National Low-Income Housing Coalition, joining us for the second time on The Exchange. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Good to have you back. Marka Turner's with us as well, the executive director of the North Bend City and Coos Curry Housing Authorities. Hi, Marka.
Hello.
Let's start with you. It's a mostly rural area served, but how tight is the housing market even there? I'm curious.
It is extremely tight. Our housing authority covers Coos and Curry counties, and we have less than 1% vacancy rate right now. We're issuing vouchers for people to go find places to rent, providing rental assistance, and there's an extremely difficult time for them to find a place to live. In fact, we only have about a 12% success rate right now, so of every 100 families that we pull off of our wait list, only about 12 are able to find housing that's affordable and suitable to live in within those two counties.
And how long is that wait list?
It's about 500 folks right now, so we are processing people within about a year. We've done quite a bit of polling. We do process a lot of people off of our waiting list just to be able to get some folks that can find a place to live. So the list is moving relatively quickly compared nationwide, but the success rate kind of hampers people's ability to really use that rental assistance properly.
All right, let's underscore those numbers again. A 1% vacancy rate across Coos and Curry counties and a 12% success rate in getting people housing on the list.
That's correct.
All right, let's turn to Diane Yentel now, because you have more of a national view of this. Is this a fairly typical story of this day and age?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the affordable housing crisis has really reached historic heights, and it's having the most negative impact on the lowest income people. So communities along the West Coast have some of the most severe shortages of homes affordable and available for the lowest income people. So at the National Low-Income Housing Coalition, we do research each year that kind of looks at just how severe is the housing crisis, and we find that nationally there's a shortage of 7.4 million homes affordable and available for the lowest income people. So another way of looking at that is for every 100 of the poorest seniors, people with disabilities, families with kids, there's just 35 homes affordable and available for them. And in California, it's even lower than that. There's just 21 homes for every 100 extremely low-income households. So it's a crisis that's impacting all states and all communities, whether urban, suburban, rural. We're really seeing the shortage throughout the country.
So a shortage of 7.4 million homes at current rates of construction, affordable or not, I mean, how long would it take to wipe out that deficit?
Well, it's not only the rate of construction we need to look at, but we need to look at who are the homes being constructed for, right, at what affordability level. So that shortage of 7.4 million homes is for the lowest income people, people who are really deeply poor. And what we're seeing, the trend in this country over the last few years, is that where housing development is occurring, it's mostly luxury or market rate housing that's being built, which is housing clearly that's not affordable for those lowest income people. So it's important that we build homes for all income levels, but to get at this affordable housing crisis, we really have to be much more targeted and make sure that we're preserving and expanding the resources that allow us to develop homes affordable for those lowest income people.
Diane Yentel, there is a low-income housing tax credit, is that right?
That's correct.
And is that one of the things that is potentially a target in one of the congressional bills on tax reform?
It is. So the low-income housing tax credit program is a really important resource for building and preserving those homes that are affordable for low-income people. It is the largest resource that allows for affordable homes to be built and preserved. And unfortunately, the House tax reform bill would make some changes that would really negatively impact that program and negatively impact the ability to build homes for low-income people. So the bill actually retains the low-income housing tax credit, but it eliminates the tax exemption on private activity bonds, which about half of low-income housing tax credit deals rely on to be financially feasible. So by eliminating the private activity bonds, it could mean the loss of nationwide, it could mean the loss of about 80,000 units of affordable homes each year that are not being built or not being preserved. And again, at a time when the crisis has reached really historic heights. In California, California would have one of the most negative impacts from this change. The loss of private activity bonds in California could mean as many as 250,000 units over 10 years, affordable homes not being built or preserved because we would lose this vital resource.
We are talking about affordable housing in America and how it might be impacted by the tax bills before Congress. Now the House has passed its version. The Senate has yet to vote. Diane Yentel is the president and CEO of the National Low Income Housing Coalition with a national perspective. Marka Turner is the executive director of the North Bend City and Coos Curry Housing Authorities. So looking at affordable housing all across Coos and Curry counties on the Oregon coast. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Marka, can you give us a sense of how the current low-income housing tax credit is used in conjunction with the private activity bonds?
Well, between the two counties, we really have no development going on. There is nothing that I'm aware of that's in the pipeline. There's a housing coalition in Coos County that is working to launch a housing study to determine what do we need, how do we need it, where do we need to build it. And we're just in the process right now of reviewing the proposals and selecting a vendor to do that housing study for us that we hope to have out early next spring that will provide that guideline. There's really an interesting dynamic that goes on in these two counties. There's a transient population that is just moving up and down the coast, as well as those that are local and really are needing housing. There's no professional housing for doctors and teachers and things of that nature. So we've raised funds to be able to launch this housing study that will get that insight, and hopefully then we can draw in larger partners, some of those other professional environments to help build some of that housing. One of the proposals had some interesting statistics that within Coos County, more than 40% of the households live on less than $20,000 a year. And when their $20,000 a year can afford $550 a month in rent, the market rate apartments and housing that's available right now is 2 and 3 times that much. And so we have 40% of our population in this county that is currently priced out of the market to be able to afford anything to rent. So the lack of development, the lack of use of tax credits in the area is just compounding that. And then now we're adding on to it another layer that could come through those that tax reform that would make it even more difficult to get anything affordable built here.
I have asked specifically about the low-income housing, but it sounds like it works pretty much across the spectrum. Is it hard for anybody to find housing there?
It's extremely difficult, yes. There's, you know, within professionals, we hear it with the nursing or the hospitals and the doctors that, you know, are coming through rotations and different residency cycles that they don't have access to housing. I moved here 2.5 years ago to take my position with the housing authorities, and I lived in a motel for a couple of weeks, and then I rented a house for $1,800 for about 6 weeks until we were able to buy something because buying was going to be more affordable than renting something, and that has just repeated itself. I have so many colleagues that, you know, they're excited, they're hiring new people, they're coming in, and then many of those new employees are leaving the area because there's no housing at any price point that is available and, you know, maintained and in decent condition. So it is quite a crisis in this community.
I've heard anecdotes similar to yours, though, where people actually found it less expensive by the month to buy a place than to rent it.
Right, and that I've heard that more and more as I'm talking to people in that realm. That housing stock is even, you know, an interesting. We get a lot of pressure and push up with folks coming up from California, and so the housing prices are going up and up, and the quality of the homes is not ideal for the price that's being asked. So it's putting an interesting dynamic that way, that more people are in a position now to get a second home, to retire up in this area, and depleting the housing stock that had once been available.
Diane Yentel, we hear this story a lot on the West Coast. As you point out, the West Coast in particular seems to be fairly hard hit. Is it possible in the view of the National Low-Income Housing Coalition that you run that there hasn't been enough tax credit kinds of help to encourage people to build affordable housing?
Oh, there's definitely not nearly enough federal resources to meet the need in California or anywhere in the country. There's always far more applications of deals where developers could build homes affordable for low-income people if there were additional low-income housing tax credits available to them. It's a highly competitive process, and many developers are turned down for lack of resources. So there's certainly a need for more low-income housing tax credits and other resources like the National Housing Trust Fund, which is the newest federal resource that was created precisely to meet this need of developing or preserving rental homes affordable for the lowest income people. It's a critical new resource, but it's not funded nearly to the scale necessary to actually meet the need in California or throughout the country.
Is some of this, any of this, caused by a conversion of what were long-term rental units into vacation rental by owner-type properties?
I think that's part of the issue. We're seeing more studies that are showing that, in fact, especially in very low-vacancy, high-cost communities, which many exist along throughout California and in Oregon, that just taking off, you know, say 1% or 2% of rental properties offline from regular rental units to be used instead for Airbnb or other similar type programs, that it is having an impact on whether or not people are able to find homes affordable to them. It's just decreasing the stock in areas where there's such a severe shortage already that it's having a really negative impact. It's leading to increased rents in some communities, so it's certainly part of the equation. Another part of the equation, especially in California, has to do with local zoning laws and real difficulty in many communities in getting any type of multifamily housing developed. And when the shortages become more severe, when the supply is really constricted so artificially and severely, it means that the rents go up really high, that the demand is increased, and it leads to spiking rents, making housing even more unaffordable. So there's really layers of issues that create the shortages that we're seeing in some communities in California.
I want to talk about how we potentially dig out of this, but I want to come to Marka Turner first, because as we talk about vacation rental by owner and Airbnb, I mean, you're in a part of Oregon, Coos and Curry counties. It's the banana belt. It's the part of the coast people want to come to because the weather can be a whole lot more pleasant for much more of the year. So I would think that vacation rentals would be a particular problem in those counties.
Yeah, that's what some of our anticipation is that we're going to get out of that housing study, is to really be able to nail down how much and where's it going to. The different people that have their fingers in the housing industry, the housing authorities, other nonprofits in the area, real estate, all of us have our perspective of, what's causing this to be the dynamic right now of absolutely no housing, and what's available is very expensive. And some of the theory is along the vacation rentals, and the other is that secondary market of people retiring. People have rebounded from that market collapse a decade ago and are now in a better position to be able to just purchase up here as a secondary home and taking some of those existing houses off the market. So we are really excited to get that housing study underway, because there are so many dynamics of it that we think will be interesting to play out. Tying into the scheme that's going on in California, somewhere we have a logjam going with development and availability, and if we can find answers to one piece of that, that would help release some of that pressure and allow, more availability or more access to what we do have that's here, then that would start to release some of that pressure.
We were talking about affordable housing or the lack thereof, and how the tax bills currently making their way through Congress could affect the situation. The House tax bill has passed already. The Senate one has yet to get to a vote. Marka Turner is the executive director of the North Bend City and Coos Curry County Housing Authorities. Diane Yentel is the president and CEO of the National Low Income Housing Coalition. Maybe you have a story to share with us about looking for rentals yourself and what kind of luck you had or didn't. 800-838-3760 to join the conversation by phone. by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. So, Diane, as you survey the landscape across the country, what would appear to be some relatively low-hanging fruit that could be picked that would start things off in the direction of creating more housing that people could afford?
Well, I mean, part of it has to do with some of the local zoning that I was talking about earlier. I think local communities need to find ways to enable more multifamily housing of all incomes to be built in those communities. But when it comes to ensuring that housing is affordable for the lowest income people, that's where the federal government has a really critically important role to play. And there are a number of proven solutions to this problem, to solutions to ending homelessness, to ending housing poverty, to making home affordable for the lowest income people. And solutions like the Section 8 voucher program or the National Housing Trust Fund program or the Low Income Housing Tax Credit program. The problem is that we don't fund these solutions at the scale necessary to meet the need. And so it's really a question of building the political will to be willing to fund these, to make the investments into these solutions. And I think part of the way that we make the case for why these investments are needed is not only because, you know, the federal government has an important role to play in making sure that seniors and people with disabilities, families with kids working really low-wage jobs are able to afford their homes, but also when we look at the cost savings to the federal government in other sectors, especially the healthcare sector, or when we look at the ways that when people are affordably housed, you know, it improves their educational attainment and their lifetime earnings and the economy overall, I think it becomes an easier case to make. And so we just need to keep talking about the importance of these programs to be able to get the increased federal investment that's necessary.
Diane, does the affordable housing market suffer in part from the continued disgruntlement with the years when housing projects were built, these gigantic places that ended up looking soulless and fairly filth-ridden over the years?
I think that's some of it, but I think we've moved pretty far past that now where, public housing from years ago was built in a way that certainly increased segregation, often was, you know, sort of aesthetically unpleasing homes that then the federal government didn't continue making investments to keep up those homes, so they became run down. I think we learned a lot of lessons over the years from that. And now when affordable housing is being developed or when it's being redeveloped, it's often very difficult to be able to go into a community and tell which of the homes are affordable for low-income people and which are not, because they're built in a way that really blends in more with the community. We've learned a lot about the importance of mixed-income developments and mixed-income communities that we've been applying to development of affordable homes. So I think we've moved pretty far beyond that and learned a lot of lessons that we've been applying.
Marka Turner, is there any publicly owned housing in Coos and Curry counties?
Yes, the Housing Authority has, North Bend City Housing Authority has a senior apartment complex as well as a family, and that's 108 apartments that are within the city limits of North Bend. And then Coos Curry has 26 scattered duplexes between the two counties. And so those do help get those affordable rents into really small communities, Myrtle Point, Port Orford, Coquille, people, you know, places where people have grown up and want to maintain their residency in those small communities. We do have that affordable housing. So altogether, we're, you know, sitting at 160 apartments between the two counties that are public housing. And then the Housing Authority also has 726 housing choice vouchers that we try to get as many of those out as we can. The federal funding is not keeping up with the rate of rents, and so we're not able to use all 726 vouchers. In fact, we can only get about to 600 with the amount of funding that we get. And then a third thing that the Housing Authority does is we property manage two affordable properties. That one's in Powers, again, a really small community here on the southern coast, and then another one that's in Coos Bay. And so helping to preserve that affordable housing and maintain those properties. And I would agree that the level and the beautiful properties that are built now that are affordable are fantastic and very much, you know, blend in with the communities. The Coos Curry Housing Authority has been very fortunate with the funding that we've gotten federally to be able to maintain our properties, and we are not, you know, having deferred maintenance, that they're really in good condition. So, but more resources toward those efforts would definitely go a long way. Our properties are, you know, 30, 40, 50 years old, and it's some of the newest stock that's in the counties. And so it's really discouraging to not have other large developments or substantial developments even that have come along to provide some relief.
So you mentioned 726 vouchers across the two counties. What do you think you could, how many people are actually eligible for them?
Oh, man. Yeah, so that 700 vouchers, and if we, you know, we're using about 600 right now, and that's, you know, just counting like one person per household. And in reality, we have, you know, four or five household members. So we're serving, you know, 2,500 individuals a month with that rental assistance. And if we go back to that number of, you know, 40% of the county's population is making less than $20,000 a year, it would indicate that maybe really close to 40% of the population in Coos County would be eligible for a voucher.
Wow.
So it's by far just a small portion of the support that could be available to people that are needing it.
So, Diane Yentel, you're aware of the need, obviously, in places like the counties that Marka Turner is responsible for, and in lots of other places across the country. So, I mean, what kind of avenues do you have to members of Congress to try to get the message across that anything that makes it harder to build housing or get affordable housing makes things worse?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the work that we do every day. We're a membership organization. We have 1,000 members across the country. We have a distribution list of close to 50,000. We have 64 state partners in 44 states, and we work together to educate Congress about the importance of these programs that make homes affordable for the lowest income people. So we've had a lot of progress, too, I think, in recent years, where, you know, the low-income housing tax credit program enjoys really strong bipartisan support in the Senate and in the House. Outside of the tax reform bill, there's legislation to expand the program that has very strong support from some key champions. So we just need to keep at it by getting people out to see these developments, to understand the importance, and ultimately to increase investment.
All right. We'll see what shakes out of this Congress. A good conversation. Diane Yentel, the president and CEO of the National Low Income Housing Coalition. Marka Turner, the executive director of the North Bend City and Coos Curry Housing Authorities. Thank you both for joining us today on The Exchange.